In our conference, yes. But I think there is one precious blood sister in the Nordic countries who is also a secretary general of the Bishop's Conference. I learned it lately. She sent me a congratulations note. And I think also in New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, there is also another woman there.
Not many, so, seeing it's a big, wide world.
No, not many, but we are coming. We are coming, yes.
I read a brief interview you gave to Catholic News Service in which you say, "I see my appointment as recognition from the bishops of the work that women are doing in Africa."
I really look at it like that, Linda, because the women are doing great work in this part of the country. Even here in the conference, most of our offices are headed by women. And in education, women are in leadership. In health, women have been in leadership. So I think and I do believe that the bishops do realize that women are doing a great job. You go to the parishes, who do you find? You find women in leadership.
This year saw two Nobel Prizes, two important Nobel Prizes, Peace Prizes, going to African women. This is actually last year.
Yes, yes. So we are doing a lot of work. And for me, that's why I said the bishops are recognizing an acknowledgement of the work that women are doing in the church. I think we really play a leadership role. And for me, that's very important and that's fulfilling. I have been myself involved since my early young years as a religious, fully involved in the pastoral work in our diocese. So I'm sure that the bishops looked at this and they do appreciate it. And they do recognize the qualities that women have in the places of leadership.
What would you say are these qualities, the ones that stand out the most? Which ones would you pinpoint?
We are able to stick out whenever we take upon ourselves something as a woman. It's not easy for a woman really just to pull out. You stick it out. You stick it out. You try to put all yourself into it and do the work that you have promised that you want to do.
Sister Hermanigal, before going into your work with the conference, I'd like to ask you a little bit about yourself and your background. What paths led you to this present role that you are about to be invested in?
You know, I must be honest, I come from a very rural background. My parents have very little education. And I went to school and they tried hard to educate me. And then when I wanted to join religious life, they encouraged me and said, "You follow your heart." So I followed my heart and I joined the Missionary Sisters of the Precious Blood in 1970 and made my first profession in 1976. And all along I have been doing ordinary work, in pastoral work, in education, I was teaching. So, but most of the time I've been involved in pastoral work in our diocese, the Diocese of Umtata. So after school, I went to the parish. During holidays, I worked in the parish. And then at one point then, I was employed, fully employed by the diocese, be on the catechetical team of the diocese as a coordinator. So I have been involved in pastoral work. And at one time then I was appointed the provincial superior of my congregation. That's where really I came to meet some of the bishops in meetings and so on. But how really they came to know about me, I don't know. I can't give you the details. I don't know. But when my community was asked, my superiors were asked whether they could make me available, they agreed and they made me available. 6 years ago to come and work at the conference. So for the last 6 years, I have been working here at Kanye House at the Bishop's Conference as an Associate Secretary General.
You said Umtata. Am I mistaken by thinking that is the trans guy?
It is the trans guy.
You say you've been doing ordinary work, but South Africa was no ordinary place during many of the years.
It wasn't. For me, it was an ordinary work that the church is supposed to be doing to empower people to do their work, to help the rural people, the grassroots level people, to stand on their own, to lead in the community services. So maybe when I say ordinary, it was ordinary because this is what is required of a church, to train people, to empower people.
Do you think those very, very difficult and unjust years have in fact created a class of people that have extra instruments to go forward because they fought so hard?
Yes, I do. I do believe that they have. Like now, our government, the present government, they celebrated now 100 years of being a political movement, and that celebration is a time where, during these years, it has not been easy. It was not easy for political situation. It was not easy for the church, but the church was fully involved. That's why I'm talking about empowering people to stand on their own, to know who they are.
I think you have some very good bishops in the Southern African Bishops' Conference. And you're very vocal also as regards the other countries that you work in. Would you like to tell me a little bit about the work of the SACBC?
Our conference really is fully involved. We look at the core services of the church, looking at the core services, looking at the Christian formation, which is the core mission of the church, looking at justice and peace issues. For instance, we have a Department for Justice and Peace, which is looking at the internal issues in the country. We have Dennis Haley Peace Institute, which is a body that was founded by the bishops here to see how can we influence, how can we assist the countries outside Southern our own conference. So our conference is fully involved and working also with other faith-based communities, very much involved in the AIDS fighting. We are busy. We have a big office here where we try to fight AIDS and help people to understand and to make them not to feel that suffering from AIDS is the end of the world. So there is a lot happening in development, also in education. So in health, our conference has many, many, many facets that we are really working on.
If I'm not mistaken, it's not only South Africa that is part of your domain, but other countries such as Zimbabwe, I think Swaziland. You tell me which ones they are.
Our conference, really, that's why we are called the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, because we are working. This includes Botswana, it includes Swaziland. These Swaziland and Botswana belong to our conference here. They are part of our conference. With Zimbabwe and other Southern African countries like Angola, Lesotho, Namibia, those we belong to them under the regional sector.
The bishops of Southern Africa have a lot to say, and I think they are the people who might get things moving in unjust situations. I think of Zimbabwe in particular.
Yes. That's why Linda was saying that we have an office here, Dennis Haley Peace Institute, which is solely founded to help the countries, the neighboring countries in Africa. So this office here deals a lot, is involved in Zimbabwe, even in Sudan. We were highly involved in Sudan and in DRC. So this is our involvement as a conference, even outside our own conference.
Pope Benedict XVI went to Africa in 2011. He gave the bishops the apostolic exhortation. There's been a lot of focus on Africa and a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope pinned on Africa because it has such potential. It has such energy. It's a developing continent, whilst in Europe, things are very, very depressed at the moment. What can you see as, let's say, the main issues you will be tackling in this coming year?
There are quite a number of things on the table which are ongoing that we need to carry on as a conference. But now, next week, our bishops are meeting in plenary, the whole of next week. And one of the issues that will have to be taken up, that is our focus for the coming years, is the very thing that you are talking about, the African Munus. Because it talks to us as an African continent, our commitment as a church to issues of justice, reconciliation, and peace. And so we as a conference are going to look at this and see how do we break it down for people, our own people, to deal with it. And for instance, now our president, Archbishop Buti, asked us when we were preparing the timetable and said, could you please give us a slot that we need to look at this exhortation as a conference? How do we go about with it? And this is a very challenging document that the Holy Father just presented to us. And we look at it as a basic working document to look at ourselves, how committed we are. You know, when we received our independence, our democracy in 1994, so many things were tried here. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Then we need to look at how is it in the church? How do our people feel? Is there that deep peace, that the peace that comes from Christ that needs to be experienced by our people, and how? The reconciliation, because this is what we need to do. And we also want to look at it. How can we work on the very document with the ecumenical body?
You have a lot of work ahead of you. What do you see will be your personal challenges as you take hold of your new desk, shall we say, in this coming near future?
Like I said, there are things on the table that have to continue, the ongoing things that have been started. At the moment, we are busy as a conference looking at ourselves as a church. Where are we? We have what we call the interdiocesan consultation. We are doing phase two of it, where we look at we are a church, and what does the church teach? What are the teachings of the church? Which this document would also be the basis of our discussions with the different groups that exist in our church. And also, what is on the table, we have been working hard to put up really means and ways of a self-reliant church. We are establishing a foundation for the conference. And then from there, I think most of the time in the coming years, apart from what is already being done and what is ongoing, this document, for me, is the priority that we need to look at as a conference. But we'll continue to do the things that are supposed to, that we have been doing, strengthening our relationship with other conferences, neighboring conferences, with the bodies-based, faith-based communities in our own conference.
Sister Hermenegild, will you be bringing a feminine touch to the conference, do you think?
I'm sure it is there. It is there. Somebody told me that, you know, even how the way we talk to each other has changed. So it is there. That I'm sure the bishops will feel. They already feel, because, like I said, we are many women leading certain posts in the conference. So it's something that will have to be there. that it has to be felt.
I think it's great. I'm very happy that, as you say, there are women, because it really makes a difference.
It does.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Not really. Like, we have spoken about the role of women, and the women in our country, even the government, is really striving hard for 50-50 representation everywhere in the government and in our society. So for me, this is what we also want to aspire for, that women are felt to be there. But at the same time, I wouldn't like that people think the bishops, if the bishops have appointed me as a secretary general, just because I'm a woman, I would start fearing that. But I do hope that they have appointed me because they believe that I'm capable of doing the work that is expected of me to be doing in this conference.